As the nation prepares for tomorrow's inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump, others prepare a march on Washington this weekend for women and minority rights. Good Thursday morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, some 200,000 people from across the country are expected to take part Saturday in the Women's March on Washington. We'll talk to two of them from here on the First Coast. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Today on the show, we're also taking part in NPR's A Nation Engaged project as we ask you, our callers, what do you want the new president to know about you or your community as he takes office? Again, the number to join us, 549-2937. Then later, why the Jacksonville Public Library is asking you to commit to 66 straight days of reading. We've also got a look at the upcoming St. Augustine Film Festival and The Spectator with some ideas for your weekend. All of that ahead. But first this hour, it began on social media with a handful of women who were concerned that the Trump administration's policies would be detrimental to the rights of women. Since then, it has grown to what is expected to be one of the largest inauguration protests in American history, including hundreds of sister protests across the globe, including some here in Jacksonville. Now, two of the Jacksonville residents heading to Washington for this weekend's march are Judy Shecklin and Lori Shad. They join us now here in studio to talk about their trip to the nation's capital and why they're going as they take your calls. Judy Shecklin, Lori Shad, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
And as we talk about the Women's March on Washington this weekend, we're also participating in a national NPR project. It's called A Nation Engaged. We have some questions for you, our listeners, and we want you to join the conversation at 549-2937. What are your hopes or fears about the incoming new administration of President-elect Donald Trump? And we've heard so much about divisions in this country. Do you feel this is true in our community? And how do you think that shows up? Why do you think we're drifting apart? Do you even feel comfortable talking to people who disagree with you politically? Be part of A Nation Engaged and give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, weigh in on Facebook. Judy Shecklin, let's begin with you. On January 21st, you will unite in Washington, D.C. with what's expected to be hundreds of thousands of other protesters for the Women's March on Washington, coming a day after the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump. This won't just be women who are marching, but it began as a women's group on social media, actually, before the election, and it grew from there. Tell us about your plans to be part of this and why you're motivated to make the trip.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Melissa. I've been involved with the women's movement and the movements for social change and human rights for decades, and social justice here in Jacksonville, and also knowing that there is so much that we can gain when we're involved. And so there was a tremendous amount of disappointment with the results of the election, but I think we recognized that we needed to seize that moment and create something, you know, kind of a unifying action where we're welcoming people who share the vision of our country, you know, which really focuses on those social justice, human rights, fairness, compassion. And the rhetoric of the president-elect in his campaign, the insults, the, you know, sort of promoting fear, threatening so many segments of our country, it really... You know, it sort of brought home the fact that we need to stand together, and a march is a way to just create that solidarity and fuel the commitment to work ahead, you know, that needs to be done to protect the rights that we've worked so hard for.
Lori Shad, as Judy mentioned, people who identify as Muslim, LGBT, black or brown people, people with disabilities, women who've survived sexual assault, they all say they feel extremely fearful and threatened by the incoming administration. At the same time, supporters of Donald Trump call those concerns overblown. They do believe he'll be able to unite the country, and they are not certainly in sympathy with this march. When Donald Trump was elected, he said it was time to bind the wounds of division in this country, and certainly the country is extremely divided. As A Nation Engaged asks NPR listeners and WJCT listeners, we seem to be getting to the point where we can't even talk to people who we disagree with because the rancor has become so bitter and the divisions have become so deep. How do you see this march expressing your views, but also trying to send a message, I guess, of inclusion, because that's how this march is being billed, is as being inclusive and open to everyone?
Well, that's a good question. When I first, when the election ended, and I felt a lot of disappointment, as did many people, I think joining the march, booking my tickets, getting ready to go, was a way of giving myself a date at which the bitterness and the sadness would end and the hard work would begin, of making sure that hard-fought rights, things that that our LGBT citizens, that women have fought for years, wouldn't be ignored, dismissed, or in many cases, repealed. So,
what are you most concerned about being repealed?
Well, certainly, I'm very concerned about marriage equality. I'm very concerned about a woman's right to choose. I have a young daughter. I certainly don't want her to be fighting the fights that my mother had to fight, let alone the fights that I've been fighting.
This march is certainly allied with the feminist movement and the pro-choice movement, Planned Parenthood, all officially part of this. At the same time, Judy Shecklin, there will be some pro-life women marching who oppose Donald Trump, but are not on the side of legal abortion. Mm-hmm. But the abortion piece of this is going to be a big part of this march. A lot of women coming are pro-choice, the majority of women, not all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the issue of defunding Planned Parenthood and the issue of overturning Roe v. Wade, which of course is the Supreme Court decision that granted the right to abortion, is a huge part of the march. And, you know, once again, there is a tremendous division between people who have resources and people who don't, because we know that women who have insurance, who are able to access health care, will always be able to find ways to get these procedures. But it really is women of, you know, the poorer women of color that will be most impacted by a lack of access, as we're seeing with the statistics now. We see that abortion rates drop. They didn't drop because of access to birth control. They dropped because of lack of access in those states to actual, you know, to clinics and to procedures.
We'll go to your calls in just a moment as we speak with local women attending this weekend's Women's March on Washington. It's 549-2937 to join us. There will be some local marches and events happening around town as well. And today we're also taking part in NPR's A Nation Engaged project. Here's a question for all of you. What do you want new President Trump to know about you or your community as he takes office? What are your hopes or fears about the new administration? And when it comes to our national divisions, why do you think we're drifting apart? And do you even feel comfortable talking to people who disagree with you? Let us know what you think about all of that at 549-2937. You know, there will be a lot of celebrities on hand at this march coming out, everyone from Gloria Steinem to Cher, some of the people you might expect to be at this march. At the same time, dozens of Democratic members of Congress have now said they will skip the inauguration. They will not attend the inauguration. They don't recognize the legitimacy of President-elect Trump, in particular, due to recent revelations about Russian hacking of the election and allegations that the new president has colluded with Russian President Vladimir Putin. So, given that backdrop, what would you say to those who think and who say, well, even if you disagree with this new president and his policies, you should still respect the office. You should still attend the inauguration. What about that controversy that's also hanging over this?
Well,
Lori.
Yeah. Certainly, I think that our elected officials have the right to protest in any way that they feel is appropriate, just as any American citizen does. So I respect their right to make a decision about whether or not to attend the inauguration. The fact is that we are going to be living with Trump as president. in just a day. And so for me, the important message and what I'm hoping to accomplish in the coming days is to come back from the march in Washington, ready to work hard with anyone who wants to work on local issues, like passing our more inclusive human rights ordinance here in Jacksonville, with issues about juvenile justice, with issues that face our local environment. And so we can be frustrated. Some of us might not even think that this president has an unblemished right to be in the White House, but that doesn't really affect the fact that we're just going to have to work hard.
Lots of calls as we speak with local women planning to head to Washington, D.C. for this weekend's Women's March on Washington. At the same time, we need to make sure that you tune in to 89.9 tomorrow, because we'll carry NPR's coverage of Donald Trump's inauguration from 11 to 2. That, of course, is tomorrow. But right now, we're going to go to your calls at 549-2937. Paula is in Fernandina Beach this morning. Hi, Paula. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think the turning point for me and what has really motivated me and moved to go to D.C. is when Mr. Trump and Billy Bush had their exchange that was taped and released, and the way they talked about women. I don't know about you, but the men in my life don't talk about women that way. And words matter. And the tone from the top, from our president, matters. And I cannot be quiet and say that that's okay. And I don't know, regardless of what your reasons might have been for voting for him, I don't understand how you could overlook that and say that boys will be boys, or that's just locker room talk, or don't hold him accountable for something he said years ago. He's a grown man. Grown men don't talk about women that way. And that was the turning point for me. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there with my 32-year-old daughter, and I'm going to be there and protest. And I'm also there for my 18-month-old granddaughter, who should not be inheriting a world in which it's okay for the president to speak that way about women.
Paula, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Certainly that Access Hollywood tape was incredibly upsetting to millions of women. At the same time, a lot of women in this country, even if they were disturbed by it, they still voted for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. They did not see that as disqualifying. What are your thoughts about that, Judy Shecklin?
One of the things that I think is very important is to talk with people who disagree with you, just to hear another side of view or another opinion. And hearing that, I think many people, and particularly women who did nonetheless support Donald Trump, said, oh, that's just him, you know, shooting his mouth off again. I would hear that. But my concern is that it did provide legitimacy for acts of sexual assault, and that so many women were so pained by having that, you know, sort of placid approval of that kind of behavior. And even more than that, giving permission to someone to do that because they have power and authority, you know, and he was saying that as a TV authority, I mean, as a TV figure, and now he's president. So, you know, that is a real concern, and I think that it is very demeaning and worrisome.
Anytime you have your small children have to go out of the room when your future president is speaking, there is a problem. And certainly for victims and people who have been through sexual assault, this is a horrible thing to have to listen to from your country's leader. And one thing I do think is that it has united a lot of women in recognizing that we weren't alone, that the experiences that we went through are ones that virtually every woman in the room has gone through.
And women that have had these experiences, I'm sure as you said, Judy, they still decided for a number of different reasons that they preferred Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton or any of the other candidates in the race.
Yes, and I think in some ways that reflects that is a a need for reflection in the women of this country. What was more important than the decency and dignity that he treats the people around him with?
And reasons being given, everything from we need different economic policies, we need a different policy in terms of national security. Yeah. For some women, those concerns trumped your, no pun intended, your concerns. Which gets to the division, the deep divisions we see right now. People are so concerned about completely different lists of issues.
Certainly.
Yeah, let's go to David on the South Side. Hi, David.
Hello. I'm working in the South Side, and I'm 66 years old, live in the South. To be quite frank, I dislike Trump immensely. My daughter's in Texas, while they're helping organize one of these marches. My problem is that he claimed to be bringing the country together, and he's done absolutely nothing since his election to do so. And nothing he's done ever makes any sense to me. His nominees have all kind of ethical problems, but that's okay because they're Trump nominees. It got to the point, I think, that people would rather believe salacious lies about Hillary Clinton than the truth about Trump. And that's what it ended up with. Yeah. I guess that's it for now.
That's David on the South Side.
Yeah, I would strongly agree with that, because I think part of the reason that many women did not sign on to supporting Hillary Clinton, and particularly white women, was because of the mislabeling and identifying her with, you know, crooked Hillary, lock her up. There was just all of this negative name-calling rhetoric that seemed somehow to stick, even though she had a very rich career and lots of experience that would have really provided, I think, a very, very good leader. And here in Jacksonville, she only lost by 1%, which is very interesting. But I would like to make one other point that I think is very important. You know, President-elect Trump's, it's not just the rhetoric, it is the nominations that he is putting forward for his cabinet, you know, some of which are just appointments that don't even require confirmation. But specifically, you know, looking at Jeff Sessions, who just recently, you know, in the 2015, you know, voted to defund Planned Parenthood, he said he was not sure whether President-elect Trump's admissions about groping women constituted sexual assault. He opposed the Matthew Shepard, James Byrd hate crimes prevention act. And this is, you know, an attorney general. These are the kinds of, you know, areas we would hope he would focus on. And so, you know, I think that speaks volumes, the kinds of people who he is appointing to cabinet level points nominating.
At the march, you'll express concerns about the president's, not just his policies and his rhetoric, but his cabinet appointments. What would you say to those listening to this right now who would say, well, we did not like Barack Obama's policies, we did not like his cabinet appointments, we were appalled by everything Barack Obama tried to do, now you know how we felt?
Well, I think we have a couple of differences there. One is that throughout Barack Obama's presidency, he didn't have unchecked power. There was a lot of obstructionism. There was a lot of there was leadership, the Republican leadership in the Congress, and so our government.
In the beginning, he had the Congress, but then he lost the Congress in terms of Democrat Republican.
Right.
Yeah.
He had vocal and powerful opposition, and there were checks and balances. I think one of the biggest things that people may not be realizing about this march is that we are not just marching to protest Donald Trump. We are marching to remind Mike Pence, to remind each of these cabinet nominees. We are marching to remind anybody who's sitting out there hoping for space on the Supreme Court and our Congress that these are issues that are widely popular in bipartisan ways. Republican women are often very pro-choice. Republican women and men often also support equality, marriage equality, and environmental protections. So these are issues that are widely popular on both sides of the aisle.
Let's go now to Mark in Mayport. Lots of calls as we take part in NPR's A Nation Engaged project this week in advance of this weekend's inauguration and protest march, the Women's March on Washington. Mark in Mayport. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Hey, I just dropped my daughter off at the airport, and she's flying up to D.C. to meet my sister. And we talked about some of her concerns as we were riding up there. And, you know, she's worried about things like birth control, and she's worried about being able to stay on my health care while she's going to college. She's involved with the Dolores Barr Weaver Foundation. She's doing all the right things that a young woman should. And she feels like she just has to go up there to be seen and be part of it because just like women get 77% of pay that men do, I think they get probably less than 77% heard, and they have to stamp their feet a little harder, and they have to shout a little louder. And, you know, I couldn't be proud of her, more proud of her. I'm glad she's part of the solution.
Thanks, Mark. Wolfgang in Palm Coast. Wolfgang, go ahead.
Yes, this is Wolfgang. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 83 years old. I was living half of my life in Europe, in Germany, half of my life in the United States, and I am absolutely shocked about what is going on in this country, particularly since 2010, since we had that very sharp move to the right in the Republican Party, and the misinformation and the hammering of the public propaganda machine, misinforming people, telling lies about socialistic Europe. They have no idea what is really, the people have no idea what is really going on in Europe. Everybody has universal health care. Everybody has a good pension. Nobody, however, is asked whether he wants health care or not, because everybody knows sooner or later he will need health care. So once you get your first job, for example, in most of the North European countries, you automatically will be enrolled in social security.
Right, and let me just jump in, Wolfgang. Certainly on the Republican side in this country, there is universal opposition almost to going the way of European countries in terms of the social safety net. And that is one of the reasons why we're so politically divided.
This is correct, but we are divided because of the misinformation. If people would be fairly informed and would not be hammered with an outrageous propaganda from the right, the whole picture, people just don't know what is going on. We have, in the meantime, in Germany alone, over 2 million Americans living, military personnel which stays behind because they realize about how good it really is to live in this country. But another point, obviously, is the environment, what is going on, how serious global warming really is. And okay, that our grandchildren will not have the kind of life which we enjoyed.
Thanks, Wolfgang. Yeah, thanks, Wolfgang. The environmental issues that are coming up, President-elect Trump has done everything from have Al Gore come visit him at Trump Tower, but nominating a man to lead the EPA, who is certainly controversial among environmental advocates. Will the environmental piece come up at this weekend's march?
Yes, I'm sure it will. And I think there are a lot of concerns regarding Scott Pruitt's nomination for EPA administrator. And some of the specific concerns would be that all around us we see the very financial rewards of having renewable energy sources like solar and wind energy. They're doing it all over the world, but we seem to be looking to go back to fossil fuels. And, you know, there is this sense that we're in some way placating those communities where those have been their jobs. But the reality is that it isn't something that is good for the environment, nor are those jobs safe and really, you know, sort of moving
with technology.
What do you think
about the argument that renewables have gained so much momentum now that whether or not this administration gets on board, market forces will simply pull America in that direction, that's irreversible now?
I would hope that. But again, looking at the specific nomination of Scott Pruitt, who has been suing EPAs in his own state and trying to make more lax regulations for water and air safety and cleanliness, that is a concern. And I think, you know, that's a very relevant concern. That's his nomination.
Let's go to Rachel now at the beaches. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for this discussion. I'm really happy about that. I just wanted to, you know, number one, agree with your caller with regard to the specific impact of overturning Roe v. Wade, making abortion theoretically the decision go back to the states, right? I mean, that is going to impact lower-income women who do not have the option to fly to a state where maybe it's still legal, or Canada. So, you know, women like me who are never, ever going to have the problem because I have a safety net, I have a family that would support me, you know, for us to not take that seriously is really and truly really bothersome to me, number one. Number two, I did want to disagree a little bit, I think, with one of the things your speaker said. You know, I read the report, I believe she's talking about a day or two ago, and I think it was unclear exactly where the fallen abortion was coming from, and they kind of thought maybe it was two things. One, because of all the closings of different Planned Parenthood centers, there is less access. But number two, there is an uptick, a significant uptick, on women getting on birth control and long-term birth control. And that was all because of Obamacare. You know, whether or not Obamacare was the perfect solution, it was a step in the right direction, specifically for making it so that women can get access to birth control as easily as possible. And it really is very difficult for me to understand people who are pro-life not wanting that for women, not wanting to even come to the issue of abortion. And that brings me to the last point I want to make, which is, you know, overturning Roe v. Wade isn't just about abortion. It's about pushing back to the states how they're going to regulate things. And that has implications beyond the absolute abortion issue. That goes back to birth control. You know, that means that South Carolina gets to decide whether or not they believe life begins at conception, and that anything that interferes with that could be an abortion. So I know that seems like that's kind of maybe pushing it too far, but given the current state of the people that Trump is putting up, the state of the Republican Party, just not sure that's a very far-flinged idea, that there would be an attack that went that far. And I really feel like that's what a lot of women who voted for Trump really and truly do not understand, the far-reaching potential implications of just this one thing, Roe v. Wade, not to mention, you know, the other things that many other callers have brought up.
Thanks, Rachel. Okay. I appreciate your thoughts. And I don't know if she heard. A minute ago, we talked about the fact that there will be pro-life women marching with everyone else Saturday. It's a reflection of the growing intersectionality of the feminist movement in this country, trying to bring more people, more women with different points of view to the table. But what about her comments? Quickly, Lori.
Well, the Affordable Care Act is something that I'm personally very passionate about because I work with families who, brand new families, women who are going back to work and trying to breastfeed. People don't know that there are inclusions in the Affordable Care Act for things like breast pumps from your insurance company, for things like a time and a break time and a place, a safe location that's not a bathroom to pump at work. And that'll have devastating consequences for new families. I'm personally very passionate about the Affordable Care Act because I get my insurance through the exchange, and my husband was able to leave his job working for the city of Jacksonville and go out and start a company of his own just because we could purchase health care on the exchange. Certainly, when it comes to women's health care, the Affordable Care Act has been a huge, huge step in the right direction. Certainly, tweaks need to happen, you know, the Affordable Care Act is a big part of it. And then when we see somebody like Mike Pence in the vice presidential chair, somebody who has been protested not only by women of his own state for his state's moves to restrict women's health care, But women across the country were protesting him long before he was elected vice president.
One more call. Let's go to Ed on the South Side. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Yes, I just don't understand why do we keep focusing on the Hillary situation losing the Democrats without taking into the equation the fact that the Democrats lost everywhere. With every position you can think of, there's record number of governors who are Republicans, individual Congress people, local races. It's nothing to do with Hillary. It's not. If Hillary would have lost and the Democrat would have done well in every other office, you can then focus on the situation with Hillary. And by the way, as far as the emails go, the one thing nobody ever has said up to this point, that the thousands of emails were released, say, due to the WikiLeaks leak, where none of them, the Democrats claim to be fake.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Yeah, and I don't mean to cut you off. It's just that we're really running tight on time, but I wanted to get your call in. Okay, what about his point that, look, the Democrats lost? Of course, in this country, we have a deeply held right to protest. But what about his comment that this is simply that elections have consequences? It's now the Republicans' turn to enact their policies.
Well, I think that when you look back historically, typically after two terms of one party, there is this sense of a need for change. And that happens even though we have had a period of financial growth. We averted a crisis with, you know, the banking issues and the housing bubble. And, you know, there were so many things that really could have gone very, very wrong that did not. People kind of forget that and still seem to want to change. And I think that is part of what we saw here in the turnover from Democrat to Republican in a lot of places. I did just want to mention a couple of really quick things, and I know we're running out of time.
We're out of time.
Okay.
So
you.
Sorry. Right. We are out of time. But let me just thank Judy Shecklin and Lori Shad. They'll be at the Women's March on Washington. 89.9 will carry NPR's coverage of the inauguration tomorrow beginning at 11 a.m. The Jacksonville Women's March begins at 10 a.m. Saturday at Evergreen Cemetery on Main Street. There will then be a march from the Landing to the Jack's Chamber Building beginning at 1:30 p.m., along with one, I believe, in St. Augustine. And we'll be right back.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Next time on 1A, an inside view on this moment for America from those born outside. The president-elect says German Chancellor Angela Merkel made a catastrophic mistake with her refugee policy. We'll speak to Germany's ambassador to the U.S. Trump also labeled Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau an embarrassment. We'll talk to the Canadian ambassador. Coming up on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community. Your world.
Starting next week, WJCT will expand its news talk programming later in the evening. You'll be able to enjoy Fresh Air with Terry Gross at 7, followed by a new talk show called Indivisible at 8. This call-in program is designed to bring Americans together Monday through Thursday for a national conversation during the first 100 days of the new Trump administration. On Fridays, we'll re-air the popular First Coast Connect Media Roundtable. For more details, visit wjct.org/changes.
Welcome back. Well, research shows that to build a strong habit of anything, you need to do it every day for 66 days. That includes reading. If people can commit to reading just 15 minutes a day for those 66 days, they can build a lifelong reading habit, one that reduces stress, builds your vocabulary, even fights off dementia. We're talking about it right now with Chris Bovin and Kelly Leakins, both with the Jacksonville Public Library. why this 66 days effort is so important. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, yeah. Melissa.
So you're trying to get the whole community to commit to 66 straight days of reading.
Right. We're trying to get everybody to read for just 15 minutes a day for 66 days. If you can read each day for 66 days, you're going to build a really strong habit. And that also includes reading. And don't forget that listening counts as reading, so you can even listen to books.
You can listen to a book on tape.
Of course.
Kelly, there are some incentives, the library, prizes even, the library's offering. How is this going to work?
That's right. There are incentives. So what you can do is go online to track your reading. We also have a paper roadmap for the younger child who may not want to log in the reading online. You can fill out the piece of paper and then you come back after 21, 42, and 66 days to any one of our 21 locations to pick up your prize. Different prizes such as a USB port, a pencil, some earbuds, things like that. And then at the end of the 60 days, everyone gets a free book.
Oh, very nice. There's also going to be the Jack's Book Fest, inaugural book festival at the main library coming up in March. Now, you've got some interesting statistics. The amount of time Americans have spent reading over the last decade has really declined. We're reading less and spending a lot more time watching TV and interacting with screen media.
Right. People over the last 15, 16 years, people are reading about 6 minutes less on average, down to just 21 minutes a day. And that's a little chunk of a day, but it's not very much, especially when you consider that people are watching television an average of 3 hours and 17 minutes a day. So people are reading a lot less. People are still reading. People are still reading books, but we are trying to find ways to get people more excited and more engaged about building this good, strong habit.
This is so fascinating. Not only does it improve memory and concentration, you will sleep better if you read. You can bond with your kids. It improves moods, relationships, staves off dementia and Alzheimer's disease, reduces stress. Mm-hmm. It's good for your body and your mind.
That's right. And I think the part about helping you sleep better at night is a really big part of it, because when you're looking at a screen or a computer screen or your phone right before bed, it actually makes your brain think that it's daylight because of how it's lit up. So if people would read a book before they go to bed, they're going to get a lot better quality sleep at night.
Yeah, you want people to actually crack a book, and not necessarily read on their Kindle, although you wouldn't hate that, but a book, an actual book.
And we have plenty of them at the library.
That's right. Lots of books at the library. So I'm going to make note of your button on your jacket. It says, "Get your kicks on Read 66. As the library kicks off the Read 66 challenge this month, they want you to read just 15 minutes a day for the next 66 days, with a big celebration and giveaways at the end. And how can people be part of this again?
They can go.
So the Jack's Book Fest is going to be the end celebration of the Read 66. It's going to be on Saturday, March 25th, downtown at the main library from 10 until 3. There's really going to be something for everyone, lots of things for the kids. The zoo is coming. They're going to bring some animals. The zoo is one of our partners, face painting, balloon twisting, as well as a lot of nationally known authors are going to come speak. So we have Ethan Long, Cara Beaumont, a few other authors, as well as some local authors who are well-known, such as Brenda Jackson and Rodney Hurst Sr.
Get your library cards renewed if you haven't already, and check out a book from your library branch. Chris Bovin and Kelly Likens with the Jacksonville Public Library. It's Read 66. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
In a moment, I'll look at some ideas for your weekend, including the St. Augustine Film Festival.
on the next Fresh Air, the conflicts of interest faced by Donald Trump and what the political and legal consequences might be. We talk with Norm Eisen, who was President Obama's ethics czar, and Richard Painter, who was President George W. Bush's White House Associate Counsel and Chief Ethics Lawyer. I hope you'll join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
You see them, maybe at the office, on the street, walking straight ahead, purposeful, because they've got a plan. And on the next Snap Judgment, we find out what it is. Man on a mission. Snap Judgment, storytelling at the beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
Welcome back. Well, it's almost time for the annual St. Augustine Film Festival, featuring 40 films from 20 countries. The festival will include appearances by many of the directors, producers, and actors who will discuss their work. Gregory Von Hausch is president and CEO of the St. Augustine Film Festival. He joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Great to be here.
Great to have you. This is the 7th annual Film Fest in the nation's oldest city, happening January 20th through the 22nd. Tell us about the movies that are going to be part of the event.
Well, our bread and butter is really the foreign films. So we concentrate on films that won't show in this area without us. We open with a Romanian comedy called Two Lottery Tickets. It's followed by a French really sexy comedy called One Wild Moment with Vincent Cassel. The next morning, we have a film from Hungary, Demi Monde, true murder mystery that took place in the 1910s. That's followed by another French film called The Scent of Mandarins, set during World War I. And right after that, we have Clandestine Man, which is about Stetson Kennedy.
The late Stetson Kennedy.
Yes, and it's the first time anybody will see this film. The director will be here with it, as will Sandra Parks, his widow, Stetson's widow.
And she lives in St. Augustine.
She does.
So some local tie there. So you've really got an interesting slate, and this festival has grown over the years. Romantic comedies, mysteries, drama, documentaries from around the world, and showcasing Florida filmmakers. For anyone any film buff, this is a can't-miss opportunity.
I think that people have really enjoyed how we've grown. You probably don't remember it, but the second festival I was here talking with you, and back then you could fire a cannon.
Oh, you have me pegged. Like, so many people have come through these doors that I sometimes get a little face blindness.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
You've got my number, Gregory Von Hausch.
But it's grown
but
go ahead,
so please.
Well. It's grown so much, and now we're filling up Lewis Auditorium. We've got three venues at the Corazon, plus Gamache Cougar Theater and the Virginia Room. And it's so five movies at any given time.
Now, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the St. Augustine Film Festival coming up January 20th through the 22nd. This is coming up this weekend in the nation's oldest city. And by the way, we're so pleased that the film festival organizers have a special treat right now for you, the listeners. We have five pairs of tickets to give away to the 7th annual St. Augustine Film Festival. That's right, five pairs. Usually we just have one pair. This is really cool. Email us right now at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and we will pick five of you at random for these five pairs of tickets to this fabulous film festival coming up this weekend. You're going to really enjoy this. As you said, Gregory, this is a really well-curated slate of films, it sounds like.
You.
Yeah.
I think so. There's something for everybody in it, for sure. And people can go on our website, and they can see trailers of the films and read about them and order tickets. And that's StAugFilmFest.com.
StAugFilmFest.com. Email us now for your free pair of tickets to the St. Augustine Film Festival at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. We have five pairs of tickets, thanks to Gregory, to give away. Now, one thing to note, if you're a winner of these tickets, you do have to come downtown here to WJCT to pick up your tickets. We will have them at our front desk for the five lucky winners. Kudos. And by the way, you brought us some passes too, which is so nice of you.
Well, you're one of our major advertisers, so we definitely want you guys to come and experience
it. And I've even got my photo on this little pass. Man, this is fancy. Thank you so much.
All right, Melissa.
He's Gregory Von Hausch, president and CEO of the St. Augustine Film Festival. Again, we will award our lucky winners five free pairs of tickets to this event. Email us. Get those emails in now. The unimpeachable Kevin Mershart will pick five winners at random. He is exceedingly fair, and this will be done with the most rigor possible. So I can't wait to see how many emails we get. I know there will be lots and lots of emails. Okay, so again, that's coming up this weekend. And finally this hour, if that is not your cup of tea, we've got some other ideas for your weekend. From the controversial final performance of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus to the Book of Mormon and more, here as she is every Thursday to take us all around town, we welcome the Mistress of Mayhem, the Maven of Mirth, the, how old are you again? Carrie Speckman
no
here
comment.
Today. No comment.
I'm a year older than I was last year.
I went to a little birthday party for you.
Yes,
and
you did.
There were a lot of people at it.
There were.
You are super popular.
Whatever.
No, you are. You are like the most popular girl in town. It
whatever.
Was amazing.
Not if you ask some people, I'm not.
Aw. Well, happy birthday once
Thank
again.
Thank you.
And, okay, so now that huge social event is over, and it was a huge social event, we are going to move on and talk about this weekend. As I mentioned, the St. Aug Film Fest is this weekend. Also, opening tonight is
the circus. Yes, and however you feel about it, I mean, a lot of people are going because it's nostalgia, and it's not going to happen again. This is it.
Yeah.
Done.
So, this is the last one. They're closing in May after many protests over treatment of animals in the circus. But this is at the arena.
Correct. It starts tonight. There's seven shows between now and Sunday.
Yeah. So it's the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, your final chance to go. After that, the circus closes up its tents. Okay. Also tonight, this is a locally made, we were talking about films a minute
yes.
ago, a locally made film at the Sunray Cinema, Never Go Back.
Yes. And I understand it was 3 years in the making. It is an adventure drama about a father and son who go on a camping trip to mourn the unexpected death of the family matriarch.
That sounded very official.
Well, we have
I know.
Time issue. It's free. It's
yeah.
at Sunray.
Yeah, that's a free
it's
screening.
It's a local crew, local cast, shot mostly in Jacksonville and Green Cove Springs, 7 p.m.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
tonight.
Also tonight through Sunday, it's back, The Book of Mormon.
You know what? I'm not a big musical fan, but I love it.
It's hysterically funny from everything I've heard.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Little inappropriate. I mean, some people.
Don't bring the kids.
Don't bring the kids.
Yeah, adults only, but very funny.
And certain adults probably.
Certain adults.
Too, but it's really, really good. I love it.
Okay, so that's tonight. Also, Friday through Sunday, it's the Symphony, Brahms, and Beyond.
Go check out the Symphony.
The Symphony is on fire.
I know.
They really are.
They are.
Kudos to the Symphony. Go to jacksymphony.org for those tickets. Oh, and Friday, the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Founded by Amy Poehler.
Really?
Yes. Oh, would I lie about such a thing?
You know, you are a golden book of entertainment
I
knowledge.
I thought you were going to say golden retriever.
I am a golden book of worthless knowledge, as
so
I always
am I.
say. And you are a golden
which
book
is why
of entertainment
I host
knowledge.
Trivia, speaking of which, tonight.
Okay.
Just a little side note tonight, European Street, San Marco at 7:30 p.m.
Just getting that little plug.
Yes.
Where is the Upright
It's at Ponte Vedra Concert Hall.
Ponte Vedra Concert Hall.
Correct. And then I just want to mention this one real quick, Chops for Charity. It is a backyard barbecue competition, and they're going to have a health fair and craft fair and silent auction, live music, all kinds of stuff. It's a benefit for Ben's Place, which is a local organization dedicated to serving individuals with developmental or acquired disabilities.
At the Jacksonville Firefighter Banquet Hall.
Correct.
Where's that?
That is off Stockton Street,
okay.
kind of near I-10.
Okay. And then, this is interesting. Saturday at 1904 Music Hall, Ordinary Boys, a Smiths and Morrissey tribute.
Yes, I put that for the cool kids. I was not a Smiths fan in the 80s. I mean, I wasn't cool enough. I was, you know me.
Maybe Duran you just Durand. Weren't maybe you just weren't gloomy enough.
That's probably it.
I don't know.
No, I wasn't cool enough. Let's
okay. Well,
tell
but
the truth.
That looks interesting. And by the way, The Spectator is wearing a shirt that says Duval versus everybody.
Yeah. You can go to DuvalVSversusEverybody.com.
And pick
it's
one
my
up.
New favorite shirt.
You're looking good.
Thanks.
Go to thespectator.com. Check out all this weekend's events. By the way, we are on fire with emails for those film festival
tickets. I figured you would be. People love a film festival. And they can start the party tonight at Sunray Cinema. Not the same festival,
yeah,
but
totally different movie.
Support local.
Support our local cinema,
local
that's
peeps.
Right. And
yes.
Support The Spectator, go to thespectator.com.
And go buy yourself a Duval versus Everybody shirt while you're at it.
I'm going to have to get one of those.
They're super soft.
That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes or through the WJCT app. Next on 1A, a diplomatic dialogue with ambassadors from near and far, how other governments view our new one. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 a.m. for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.